I read a story about Russell Conwell that he told about a fellow by the name of Ali Hafid. Ali Hafid owned a farm, had a camel, hardworking man, had a family, and he enjoyed life. He worked tirelessly and he was content with his life. One day, a priest stopped by and he began to talk to Ali Hafid. And he said, the priest said he knew of a place where there were diamonds, but it was in some place far away. And Ali became very interested in this whole story about diamonds. And he asked the priest, where do I find them? And the priest pointed him in a general direction. He wasn't sure. And here's what happened to Ali Hafid. He became discontent with his life, and he began to chase diamonds. And as the story goes, he sold his farm. He ended up kissing his wife goodbye and his kids, and he said, when I get back, we will have plenty of money, and life will be much better. Now, the priest had told him that the place you will find your diamonds is a river between high mountains that runs through white sands, and that's where the diamonds are. So Ali Hafid was excited. He left home in pursuit of diamonds. He became a soldier of fortune. He went to East Africa looking for the mountains and the river and the white sands and the diamonds. He didn't find them. He went to Palestine. No diamonds. He went to Europe. No diamonds. And then he went to Spain. Surely they're there, but he didn't find any diamonds. Ali Hafid became disillusioned from life. And the story says that he was on the shore and he watched a giant wave thunder toward him. He jumped into the raging waters, never to be seen again. He died. The guy that had bought Ali Hafid's farm, the priest went to see him. This was sometime later. And the new owner, as this priest and this new owner were talking, the priest went inside the house and introduced himself, and he looked up on the mantle, and he saw a stone. And he was intrigued by it, and he asked the owner, where'd you find that? And he said, well, I found it on the back part of my property. And the owner said, well, I think it's just a beautiful stone. The priest said, I think it's a diamond. Take me to where you found them. So the new owner took the priest to the back part of his property. And on the back part of this property, there was a river or a stream, and there were high mountains, and there was white sand. And the priest and this new owner began looking into the stream bed, and sure enough, there were chunks, rocks that weren't rocks. They were diamonds. And there were lots of them. And so the story goes that this man became very wealthy, the new owner. But the point of the story is this. Ali Hafid went chasing diamonds in a far-off land. But they were found in his own property, and he didn't know about it. In our story today, from Genesis chapter 26, Isaac is experiencing a famine, a hard time, and he wants to go to Egypt. And God says, no, I want you to stay put in the land you're living, even though it's a famine and it's a hard time. And so we find here that Isaac stayed put. And it says he planted crops, and in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. But here's where this is going. You and I might be living in a famine. It's called a trial. It's a hard time. It's a test. And when we are in a tough spot, there's a tendency in human nature to want to go someplace else where it's easier. We think the grass is greener on the other side. And so we begin to think, oh, well, let me go to Egypt. Let me go somewhere else because life will be a little simpler and easier for me. But there's times in life when God does, in fact, lead us to move, to change jobs, or to relocate. There are those times. However, there's other times, listen closely, where he says this. Even though you're in the middle of a hard time, a famine, stay put. Stay put. Don't move. You know why? There's diamonds in your property that you might not know anything about. Isaac planted seed and he reaped 100-fold that same year in the midst of a famine. So when you think about a famine, hey, maybe it's a relational issue in a marriage. Say, wow, this just isn't working. Stay put. Maybe it's something with a child and there's friction and we can't get past certain things and you want to move, you want to do something fresh because it's so hard. And God is saying, stay put. Stay put. Maybe it's a health issue. You know, we all journey through life and we encounter the unexpected. And we want to move, we want to do something so we feel better about life. And you're right where God wants you. And he says, stay put. I want you to read with me the first couple of paragraphs in your notes. The title of the message is Acres of Diamonds. We're going to be talking about that this morning. But let's read these two paragraphs together. Now there was a famine in the land. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. I want to tell you about diamonds. It takes three things to make a diamond. Letter A is this: extreme pressure. I'll have Michelle put that up. The first thing about making a diamond is when you experience pressure. I mean, that's a part of life. You may be here today, and that's your story. You've just experienced high pressure over a period of time. Letter B is this. The second thing is intense heat. Diamonds are made when carbon atoms bond together under pressure. It takes pressure and heat to make a diamond. The third thing it takes to make a diamond is this. It's called time. It's over time that a diamond is somehow, the molecules, the atoms are bonded together, and the result is a beautiful stone. So as you think about your life, here's what I want you to kind of soak in the first part of the message. You may be experiencing a famine in your life. It's not where you want to be, like Isaac. But God's message is this: stay put. Stay put. Don't move. You know why? There's diamonds in the back part of your property you may know nothing about. And he says, I will bless you. And truly he did with Isaac. He blessed him. So when we think about the diamond, here's a quote I want to let Michelle put up. A little harder to read. Let me read it for you. When we long for life without difficulties, remind us that oaks grow strong in contrary winds and diamonds are made under pressure. We kind of like a life without too much struggle, do we not? I like that season of life. and it ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's better than others. But the point is this: strong oaks grow in contrary winds. Diamonds are produced under pressure. And you may be here today, and that's your story. I want to just throw out a word of encouragement to us all, and it's this. When we stay put under God's leading and we're obedient, let me tell you, you're right where you need to be, because God is making something in you that will increase your value in terms of your purpose for living. So here's what I want to do today. I want to share with you three thoughts. When you think about acres of diamonds, and maybe there's something in my life I haven't discovered, my eyes aren't open to, but God is in the business of opening our eyes. And I want to share three thoughts that will hopefully help us all stay put and discover new things in life. So, number one, here's point number one about experiencing the victory of life. Your faith will lead you into your destiny. Your faith and the degree of it will determine the level of your victory. Read with me Hebrews 11:1. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is a big deal to God. The Bible tells us the only way we can honor him or please him is through faith. Amazing statement, isn't it? It's not what we can think through. It's not what we can just figure out ourselves. Faith is the only thing that will make us pleasing in God's sight. Amazing statement. Your faith is vitally important this morning. Let's read together Isaiah 7:9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. When someone's in the midst of a trial, like Job, or you're in the midst of a famine like Isaac, there's this sense of bailing out. And God, this is pretty rough stuff. But let me tell you, faith is most important when the heat and the pressure is on, because it's the only way to please God. And Isaiah says, if you and I don't stand firm in our faith, we will somehow tumble or fall. You will not stand at all. Read with me 1 John 5:4 in your notes. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. If you're looking for victory this morning in the midst of your famine or your trial or your struggle, the only way to get there is through your faith. Faith unlocks heaven's provision in terms of our outlook and our attitude. And John says the victory that has overcome the world is through this thing called faith. Amazing thing. Now, I got a couple quotes. Here's the first one. Our history is not our destiny. Your past, my past, does not have to define our future. Our history is not our destiny. We have to deal with it and look for a better tomorrow. Here's the second one. Your future is as bright as your faith. The degree of your faith, the level of intensity and earnestness, the pureness of it. Your future, my future, is only as bright as the faith that we have about it. So here's the question. If you're in the midst of a famine, a trial, a difficulty, a struggle in life, what is the level of your faith? You see, trials serve a purpose to create the diamonds in our life. And so faith is a solely important ingredient in literally having, allowing and releasing God's power to be at work within us. So number one, your faith will lead you into your destiny going forward. Stay connected with God and continue to fight for it. Number two, your words are a prophet of your future. Your words are a prophet of your future. Let me explain that. You know, in the Old Testament, the word prophecy or prophesy means a couple things. It means to foretell an event, something that'll happen 100 years or next week. It's to foretell it. It also means to forthtell. You just make a proclamation about your future. That's what prophesy means. Now, on the backside of your sermon listing guide, there's two words. It's called self-talk. And these are, it's kind of like a buzzword. It's a category of this is what self-talk is. It's the way you talk to yourself. It's your inner voice. Now, some people call it an inner critic. Now, doesn't everybody here have an inner critic? We understand that. But listen, self-talk is what you tell yourself about your future. And I want us to think about what is it that's coming out of our mouth about our present circumstance and our future. In other words, in the book of Proverbs, the writer says, as a man or a woman thinks in his or her heart, so is he. Let me stop here. What are the words coming out of your mouth about your future? About your current situation? Your words are a prophet about what you're thinking about yourself. And so we find here it's very important of what we are talking to ourselves about. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is giving an assignment by God to prophesy over the nation of Israel. I mean, he's talking to a nation now. So let's read together the verses in your notes. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Ezekiel had this vision of a valley full of dry bones. They were dead, no life. And so God says to Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak over them. I want you to prophesy over the valley of dead bones. And it says he obeyed. He did that. And the bones began to come to life. And the people stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, the principle is the same when you prophesy using God's word over your own life. The words you speak over your future are very important. You know why? They're a prophet of what you are expecting of the future. I came across something. It was called 101 different quotes on self-talk about what you speak about your future. I want to share five examples with you about what we say about ourselves in our future. For example, here's the first one. With God's help, I am capable of handling whatever comes my way. Do we talk to ourselves that way? It's called self-talk. Here's another one. Every challenge is an opportunity for growth. It's called self-talk. Do we look at life in that way? Here's another one. With God's help, I'm more powerful than any circumstance, situation, or condition. It's self-talk. It's a recorder that goes on and on in our head daily, consciously and subconsciously. And oftentimes, we listen to the wrong kind of message. Here's another one. In every moment, I can choose my thoughts and create results that I love. It's self-talk. It's determining a voice for your future. And here's the last one. I believe in God's healing power in my life through medicine and prayer. Self-talk. It's a faith talk. And the principle is this. You and I have to continue to monitor what we are thinking and what we are speaking about our futures. I read a story about Edward Farrell. He lived in Detroit, and he had an uncle in Ireland. And the uncle was turning 80 years old. So Edward Farrell got an airplane, flew to Ireland, so he could be with his uncle for the 80th birthday. So the two of them got together. It was early one morning, and I think they went to Lake Killarney. And it was before sunrise, and the two of them were just there together, and it was just one of those serene times. The sun began to come up, and it was one of those amazing moments in life. They were both silent. It was so beautiful and so serene. The 80-year-old gentleman who had the birthday, as the sun came up, began to dance along the shoreline of the water. The nephew, Edward, was kind of intrigued that the 80-year-old uncle was dancing, and he says, well, could you tell me, why are you so happy? And here's what the 80-year-old uncle said. My father is so very fond of me. He says, oh, yes, my father is so very fond of me. What's he saying? He somehow knew that God loved him, and he embraced the thought that the Father is so very fond of him as his son. He's 80 years old, having a birthday, walking along a lake, and he says, ah, the Father loves me so much. It's called self-talk. So you and I have to continue to monitor what it is we are saying about ourselves. Faith makes the difference. That's point one. Number two, your words are a prophet to the future. So two quotes. Here's the first one. I like this. Watch what you tell yourself. You're likely to believe it. Be careful what you tell yourself, because you're probably going to believe it. It's called self-talk. Your words and your thoughts are a prophet of your future. Here's another one. Your thoughts and your words are the architects of your destiny. If you were to take your thoughts and words from this past week that you tell yourself over and over again, what does it look like going forward? My problem, what I usually do, I tend to rehearse the past. I've been stuck in that. Maybe you have too. Something happened, it was not good, and we rehearse it hundreds, maybe thousands of times over our lifetime. And in rehearsing the past, I have to understand my past doesn't have to define my future. I have to rearrange my thinking so that my thoughts are more positive, because they become the architect of what I'm moving toward. And so point number two, listen, your words that you speak about your life, that I speak about my life, are a prophet of the future, of what we're moving toward. Okay, so number one, faith will lead us into our destiny. Number two, our words are very important, and we need to think about what we are thinking about. Number three, here's the third point. Your beliefs will lead you to the discovery of your diamonds in your life. Your beliefs will lead you to discover the acres of diamonds that God has for you. Read with me Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let me stop here and ask you a question. What are you believing about your future? If God gave you everything today, this moment that you are believing him for your future, what's it look like? Is it too small? Does it need to be a little bigger? Does it need to be changed and modified? Because Jesus said, if you can believe and you lean into his word, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let's read the next verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is one verse, if you haven't memorized it, or you can't repeat the gist of it, you need to go to work on it. It's a huge promise. You know what it's saying? Regardless of what happens in your life or has happened, God is able to take those circumstances and make them work for good. You know what that's called? Diamonds. Diamonds. He's able to take every mess up, every mistake, every sin, every struggle, every pain, and if we give it to him, he says he'll take it and make it work for good for us going forward. It's a huge promise. Memorize that verse. Get it under your belt. Romans 8:28. Go to work on it. It's an incredible promise by God himself. All right. Let's read the last one, Psalm 27, in your notes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Here's what this is saying. The steps of a man or woman that wants to serve God are ordered by God himself. Isaac wanted to go to Egypt, but God said, no, I want you to stay in the land. Unfortunately, there was a famine there, but Isaac obeyed. He planted crops and reaped 100-fold, pretty amazing, but God's blessing was upon him in the midst of the famine. So you're here today, and your steps have been ordered by God himself. And if you find yourself in a difficult spot, understand that your belief toward your circumstance of what God can do in the midst of it will determine the diamonds that you will discover as you work through the issue. So here's a couple quotes. First one, every problem is an opportunity in disguise. Isn't that true? It's how we look at it. It's how we frame it. And if we get better at reframing things in our life, the diamond recovery will go up. They're in our backyard. We just have to see the problem differently. And here's another quote. Most people miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Could you have diamonds in your backyard, in your life, someplace, in a circumstance you're in, and you don't even realize they're there? That's what happened to Ali Hafa. He thought it was out there, but in fact, it was right there on his own property. It's right there in your own life. And so we miss opportunities because they're dressed in overalls and they look like work. So acres of diamonds, how do we get a hold of them? Number one, your faith will lead you into your destiny. Faith is so important. God is pleased with it. We honor him with our faith. We trust him. Number two, your words are a prophet of your future. Take an inventory of the words you speak today and tomorrow, of what you're saying about yourself and your future, because they're the voice of what we think is going to happen, of what we want to happen, our self-talk. So be careful at, analyze it. Number three, your beliefs will lead you to the discovery of your diamonds. Concluding thought. Verse in your notes, 119:8 from the book of Psalms. Let's read it. Open my eyes that I may see things in your law. Here's what the psalmist said. Lord, open my eyes. Now here's the application. We all go through difficult times and we don't see any way out. We feel like it's a famine, it's a trial, it's a struggle, it's unfair, it's a lot of pressure, there's intense heat, it's overtime. But listen, The psalmist said, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to what you're doing. And God, show me the diamonds. I have two final slides. Here's the first one. You want diamonds in your life? No pressure, no diamonds. You want to dodge the bullet? You want to go to Egypt, somewhere else where it's easier and so forth? Well, you can run to it, but you know what? You lose out on the diamonds. No pressure, no diamonds. If you're in the midst of pressure, can I tell you something? God is up to something in your life. He's making something of huge value inside you that you don't even understand or comprehend, because carbon atoms bond together under extreme pressure. No pressure, no diamonds. Okay, here's the last quote. Life keeps throwing me stones, and I keep finding the diamonds. If life has thrown a stone your way, and we all feel them, whatever it might be, relationship issues, health issues, money issues, all kinds of circumstances, life keeps throwing me stones. But let me tell you, the person who has faith in God, who's the miracle worker, the person who is careful of what they speak about their future and about themselves, called self-talk, they let the word of God be a prophet about their future and what he can do. Number three, listen, your beliefs about what you're going through, if they're right and you're trusting God, give it time. Say, God, open my eyes, and they will lead to the discovery of the diamonds in your life. Stay put. Don't run. Don't move. Stay put. That's what Isaac did. And God's blessing was upon him in the midst of the famine. And he sowed seed and reaped 100-fold in that year. I think the biggest challenge for us all is to say, Lord, open my eyes. How can I see anything else but stones? They're all over the place. They get thrown at me. That's how life is at times. And yet, we get stones thrown at us, but we can keep finding diamonds because that's who God is. So if you're here today and you're under extreme pressure, intense heat, and it's over time, there's something being shaped inside you of incredible value. You may not be able to see it now, but don't do an Ali Hafad and run off somewhere else. Stay put. Ask God to open your eyes and see what's in your backyard. Just let him open your eyes. You know why? That's who God is. It's what he does if we just serve him and follow him. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to take a few moments, and with the truths that have been presented today, I want you to reshape or reframe your problem, your challenge. I want you to push back on it. And what is it you need to think different about? How do you shift your belief toward it? And you have faith, but your words that you speak about it are huge and important. We talked about that. Your belief that God can do something, that's a big deal. And ask God to open your eyes. Just take some time right now. Say, God, open my eyes to the diamonds that you're making in my life, the opportunities around me. Show me. Make it clear. Just ask him. Heavenly Father, we confess that sometimes it's hard to stay put. Our nature likes to run. Go somewhere else where it's easier. Lord, forgive us. And so this morning, we just surrender ourselves to you where we're at. And we pray collectively and individually that you will somehow open our eyes to the diamonds you're making in our life. We got plenty of stones coming our way, but you're the miracle worker that can, through pressure and heat and time, create something of beauty and value called a diamond. I pray that as every person leaves here today, that their faith will be lifted and that they will believe you for something new in the midst of their famine and their struggle, whatever that is. Father, we just surrender our hearts and our lives to you. Be our God. Be our, through Christ, redeem us and give us hope and lift us and remake us and make us stronger believers in our faith. And Father, I just thank you for the person here today that needed to hear two words, stay put. They are right where you want them, even though the pressure is great and the heat is intense and it's taking time. They are exactly where you want them to be because you are bonding the carbon atoms of their soul together to form something of beauty and something that will endure and something that will honor and glorify you. And Father, for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.